Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Over the 40 days of the Easter season, we are encountering revelations of the risen Christ. Read Acts chapter 1, and you'll hear that he presented himself alive to them after his suffering, that's his crucifixion, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking to them about the kingdom of God. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we read that he appeared to Cephas, which is Peter, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom were still alive, as Paul was writing this, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. There are so many revelations of the risen Christ, all from Easter Sunday to Ascension Thursday. All these revelations, however, are with a purpose. Consider Easter Sunday. The revelation of Christ on Easter Sunday was to show that death has no dominion over Jesus, and that he is the stomper of the serpent and is victorious. The wage of sin has been paid in the flesh of Jesus, and Jesus is risen. He is, in fact, the Lord's Christ, the one who sets prisoners free from sin and death. And the women who went to the tomb that morning were the first witnesses of this turning point in history. Ask yourself the question, why were the women the first witnesses? I mean, what was the purpose of Jesus revealing himself to the women? I want you to consider the fact that at the time, only men were considered reliable witnesses. Jesus here is doing a new thing. The Lord has come for all people. He is willing to die for all people. He values highly all people. And to the surprise of the ancient world, women were included in that. We take that for granted because we live in a culture that celebrates equal value of women. But here we see at the very beginning that elevation of women's status as witnesses of the resurrection. It begins with Christ. It begins with him revealing himself to the women and not first the disciples at the empty tomb. After that, of course, Jesus did reveal himself to the 11 and to Thomas, who wasn't there that first week. For what purpose? Well, to dispel doubt and to give peace, as Pastor Beck shared last week. But in today's readings, I want to draw your attention to the fact that there are no less than three revelations of the risen Christ. And I'm going to start with John's Gospel. Here we hear the despondent disciple Peter announce to the others that he's going fishing. Now, not simply to go to Lake Monroe, right, and spend the week and trying to catch some fish, but that he was going to return to his pre-disciple vocation as a fisherman. I mean, he went back to Galilee. He went back to the place from where he was called and perhaps where he was inclined to return to his family business. And so he and the others were out all night fishing. We read that their efforts were futile. Early in the morning from the shore calls Jesus, though he was not recognized at first. Hey, do you have any fish? No. But after he commanded them to cast their net on the other side of the boat, and they took in this large haul of fish, 153 to be precise, John recognizes him and shouts out, "It's the Lord!" And then we hear Peter, he jumps overboard, swims to shore. That same Peter who at one time boldly asked Jesus if he could walk out to him on the water. The same Peter who took his eyes off of Jesus and began to sink, and the Lord called out or reached his hand out and grabbed him. This same Peter now dives in and swims frantically toward the shore. And on the shore is Jesus. Jesus, who called Peter and the others away from the vocation of being fishermen to be fishers of men. The same Jesus who said to them earlier, "Follow me." The same Jesus who for 3 years they witnessed do miracle after miracle after miracle. The same Jesus who was betrayed, abandoned, denied, crucified on Friday of the Passover like the sacrificial lamb. This same Jesus was now sitting on the shore and cooking them breakfast. Not only to feed them, but for the purpose of confirming that call to be fishers of men for the others, and especially for Peter. This revelation of the risen Christ is for the purpose of forgiveness and of restoration. Remember, 3 times Peter denied the Lord before he was crucified. And now, 3 times, the Lord forgives and restores Peter. "Feed and tend my flock, Peter. I love you and I forgive you. Peter, you have work to do, important work to do, and it's not catching fish. For I have called you to catch men. And now, dear Peter, you will know and you will experience my forgiveness for you. And having been forgiven, you will catch many others as you share my forgiveness and restoration with them. You will tend my flock. You will feed them with my forgiveness for their sins. But first, Peter, before you feed them, I will feed you." Of course, they had breakfast together on the beach. Perhaps some of you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, can relate with Peter. Maybe not just for his spontaneous actions of jumping out of the boats, but maybe you're walking around carrying a load of guilt and shame. Maybe you're feeling like you've walked away from the Lord or have denied him. And that maybe it's just easier if you go back to old habits. Maybe you're feeling that your sin is something that couldn't possibly be forgiven. Well, let me tell you then that the same risen Christ who forgave Peter is the same one who is present here to absolve your sin. The same Jesus who restored Peter is the same one who is present here and now to restore and renew you. In this place, Jesus, the same Jesus, is the one who feeds you, not with fish for breakfast, but with a meal of his salvation, of his very body and blood, a feast of victory from the altar. The risen Christ is present now to forgive and to restore you, and to deal with your guilt, to deal with your shame, and to deal with your sin. This is most certainly true. That's our first reading, our gospel reading. I'm going to go back to our first reading in the bulletin, which is from the book of Acts. And there we meet Saul. Saul, the zealous Pharisee. Saul was so eager to maintain purity of doctrine concerning the law of Moses and the traditions that were passed down to him from the elders, so much so that he would even justify violence against those who were followers of the way, which means followers of Jesus. He was so convinced that he saw things rightly. But ironically, in his zeal, he proved only to be spiritually blind. He was blind to see who the followers of Jesus proclaimed him to be, and blind to the fact of who Jesus truly is. And so as Saul is making his way on the road to Damascus to persecute followers of Jesus, the risen Christ revealed himself to him. And there he struck Saul physically blind. Right, that's the first revelation that we get in this text. And it wasn't until Ananias, a disciple in Damascus, also had a revelation of the risen Christ. And that changed everything. See, Ananias knew who Saul was. He knew that he had come with authority to arrest, or worse, those who were following Jesus. And rightly so, Ananias was filled with fear about Saul. But the Lord revealed himself to Ananias, and he spoke with him. That changed everything. The Lord even turned his fear into boldness. And so, having this revelation of the risen Lord, Ananias went to Straight Street, and he found Saul just where the Lord had said he would be. He was so bold as to address the one who would be his enemy as a brother. He puts his hands on him, he prays for him, and baptizes him. And immediately the scales fall off of Saul's physical eyes, and he could see again. And more importantly, he began to see things with the eyes of faith, that Jesus is who his followers proclaimed him to be, the Christ. And his life was forever changed. His identity went from being Saul the persecutor to Paul the proclaimer. The risen Christ first met him on the road to Damascus, but then again in the waters of holy baptism, whereby Saul was put to death with Christ and raised with Christ to new life. In holy baptism, the risen Lord changed his life and gave him a new identity. And for Ananias, the Lord changed him as well. He took him from a place of fear and trembling to boldness. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, today I ask you, are you dealing with fear? You know, the same risen Christ is with you wherever you go. That is his promise to you. Have you been baptized? Well, then remember that the risen Christ met you in the font and changed you as well. He took you from being a sinner and he made you his saint. He took you from being dead in your sin and made you alive in Christ Jesus. He took you from being spiritually blind and opened your heart and your eyes to see with faith. Remember your baptism, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, who you are and whose you are. You are the Lord's dearly blood-bought child, washed in the waters of holy baptism. This is most certainly true. It brings us to our third reading, the last revelation of the risen Christ for today, which comes from the letter written by John by that same title, Revelation. Here we encounter Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, but who has begun his reign. Here it is revealed that the mission of Christ Jesus being proclaimed to the nations has come to fruition. Jesus is whom all the nations see and worship and adore while singing a new song. The good news of Christ crucified and risen is proclaimed among the nations and has drawn in people from all around the world. People who are weary with the weight of the problems of the world. People who mourned over their own sin and had lost their joy and had lost their voice. But Christ is risen. And he has come for all people, weary and heavy laden, to create for himself a new people from every nation. And Jesus himself is their hope and joy. He is the reason for and he is the content of their songs of praise. And they sing forever in that heavenly choir. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, are you heavy laden with the troubles of this world? Do you mourn over your own sin? Then take heart. Jesus said, in this world you will have troubles, but I have overcome the world. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The same risen Christ that we read about in Revelation and in all the pages of Holy Scripture has come to you in word and sacrament to make you part of his people, his holy, chosen, precious people. Once you were in darkness of sin, but now you are in his glorious light. He is able to fill your hearts and your minds with joy and with hope over his victory over the troubles of this world, the forgiveness of your sins, the promise of your own resurrection. And he fills your tongue, or he fills your hearts and your minds with, and puts this song of praise and thanksgiving upon your lips so that you can sing about all that he has done, is doing, and will still do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is still revealing himself to you this very day by his word, through his sacraments, so that you would have the assurance that your sins are forgiven, that your mouths would be opened with songs of praise, that you would have a new identity and walk in bold confidence, knowing who you are in Christ Jesus. For Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, the risen one. Amen.